From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. This is a Merry Nixmas. Merry Nixmas, ladies and gentlemen. BleedBlueShow.com is our website, BleedBlueShow.com. You can go to that website, get the schedule for all of our upcoming episodes, talking sports. You can go there for the audio archive, episodes on the podcast tab, all the sports, all the episodes we got going on for all the teams, all the leagues, stakeholder spotlights, the whole nine, fan episodes, you name it, it's out there on the podcast tab here on the Bleed Blue Show. We're talking Knicks basketball on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. I gotta put it like this. The theme of this episode, we're in between games, between the Charlotte game, we got the Boston game on Thursday. What are you thankful for the Knicks, if thankful at all, man? Let me say my piece on that, and then we'll get the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue. Welcome back to his platform here and get his thoughts on our team, because we haven't heard from him. And I look forward to talking with Av on the Knicks show. But there's a lot of things I'm thankful when it comes to the Knicks. First of all, I think the number one thing I think for most Knicks fans is Phil Jackson's gone. That's thankful enough. We could be thankful enough on that aspect alone. I'm thankful that he's gone and we could right the ship in a good direction with a new general manager and Scott Perry. Hopefully he has more rope to operate as far as putting this franchise in the right place going forward. Team ball looks decent this year. A very loyal fan base. I love the fan base of the New York Knicks. Always have for damn near 30 years as far as representing the brand of basketball that we try to root for as far as effort, hard work, bringing great players into this organization who are going to just put their heads down and just go to work. A lot of things to discuss on the Knicksmas episode as well, and I want to get all the stakeholders' thoughts as far as the Knicks' thoughts. Their thoughts as far as the Thunder game on Saturday, the Hornet game on Monday. I know that was a disaster. And we got some two division games coming up, and we'd love to discuss that as well, including and not including the Piston game on Friday. Let me say one more thing. Earlier this week, if you got to go back into the show, the archives of this week, Monday, we had our stakeholder holiday episode. That is where all the guys come on. The cornerstones of the Bleed Blue Show, talking Knicks, Giant, Yankee, Rangers, Knickerbocker Avenue came on. Ranger Proud for the Rangers. Frontliners, Bakes was on from the Giants. Kenny D from New York Yankees Talk. And Chris, myself, we all had a nice dialogue of 2017 sports year. From our eyes, our views. That episode is on BleedBlueShow.com/podcast. Check it out, that episode. It's fun. Coming together with all those guys, man, talking sports, getting different perspectives, and when it's not just about specific teams. Yesterday we had our Rangers episode with Ranger Proud. Shout-outs to RP, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram, with the Rangers beating the Ducks 4-1 at the Garden. So we had a nice dialogue, a nice win for the Rangers. They got two tough games coming up versus the Devils and the Maple Leafs. So going to have a lot of that discussion going into the new year after the Winter Classic as well. So Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, looking forward to talking to the stakeholders, bringing them all on in the order that they called. Without further ado, it's been a couple of weeks, and it's been an honor to talk to this guy. It's an honor always talking sports with this guy. I feel like he's like a brother from another mother when I talk about Knickerbocker Avenue. Our source for the streets with the New York Knicks, Knickerbocker Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Welcome back, Av. I know you've been ailing. You've been out of commission. But you know what? I'll let you tell it. It's good to hear from you, especially talking Knicks, bro. How you doing on your platform, the Fan Forum? How's everything?
Well, good evening to you, Steve. Definitely, the feeling is mutual. You're definitely my Billy Blue brother from another mother. You know what? Monday night, doing the holiday party, having some drinks and talking New York sports, all around sports, with Bates from the Frontliners, Kenny D from New York Yankee Talk, RP, you and Chris. That was a lot of fun. We need to do these a whole lot more. Obviously I've been out for a couple of weeks. You know, I've been dealing with, you know, some back issues. Had a minor procedure done, and I've been on painkillers ever since. But that has not stopped me from, you know, watching the games, keeping up with, you know, what's going on in the world of sports. So it was really great to talk about, you know, the Giants and all the changes going on in the front office and in the coaching side, the great expectations and what we experienced in 2017 from our New York Yankees. Listening to, you know, to RP is always a pleasure, especially when you somehow get under that man's skin, because I've talked to him privately. He's one of the most mellow and cool dudes in the world. For some reason, you can get under that man's skin. I don't know how you do it. And it's just, you know, great to, you know, to talk, you know, New York blue sports. So that's one of the main things I'm thankful for, you know, and of course we have to thank you and Chris, the blue show, you know, for all that. But let's just talk about our New York Knicks. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen some highs and lows. Of course, you know, the injury sustained to Tim Hardaway Jr., the injury, the on-again, off-again injury with Kristaps Porzingis. But the team is still thriving. On Saturday night with Carmelo Anthony returning to Madison Square Garden, it was really interesting, you know, just how the fans at Madison Square Garden and all over New York City and on social media and everywhere else, how they embraced, you know, the return of Carmelo Anthony to Square Garden. I think that the video tribute that they gave him, and you know, the initial ovation that he received was well deserved. You can't knock the man for always trying. I mean, you know, you can sit there and judge his skill. You can sit there and judge his playing style, or you know, his selfishness or unselfishness, his ability to, you know, to come through the clutch. You cannot deny the fact that when this city was craving a superstar for all those years, you know, during the Scott Leading years, during the Isaiah Thomas years, and then you know when the change started, when Amari Stoudemire and Donnie Walsh, you know, and that change started finally, you know, come around. When we acquired Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks did become relevant, and you can't, and that's attributed to mainly to Carmelo Anthony. So that's one thing that I'm always going to be thankful to him for. Basketball aside, he made New York relevant, and the way he embraced the city is it goes beyond words. But the Knicks reacted. They took advantage of a great situation. The fact that, you know, Oklahoma City was in Philadelphia the night before playing a triple overtime, game, you know, that they barely survived against a tough 76er team. And, you know, then they come home or they hit the road on Monday night and pretty much shit the bed, you know, at the Spectrum Center down in Charlotte, North Carolina against the Hornets. But the team is progressing. And yes, you're absolutely right. What more can, you know, the Knickerbocker Nation be more thankful for than the fact that Phil Jackson and his, I don't know what you want to say, his unwillingness to do things the correct way in order to, you know, to progress the team and the organization into the next millennium, that was one thing that, you know, that we can be thankful for, because you can see the automatic results of what happens when you remove a big problem that was sitting there. We all know, you know, all the reasons of why Phil Jackson was let go. You know, we talked about it at length prior to his dismissal, and after that, you can check out the archives at blueblueshow.com and listen to it, because we talk about it at length. But this team, you have to be thankful for, because who would have thought that this team would be, 16-15 after 30-31 games, and, you know, we're right in the midst of a playoff hunt. And you know, once Porzingis returns, once Tim Hardaway Jr. returns, once, you know, they head into 2018 and they start approaching the trade deadline, maybe Scott Perry does make some move, maybe he stays put, maybe he acquires some valuable assets for the future, who knows. But the opportunities are there, and the sun and the future is very bright for this New York Knicks team and organization, for once.
Good to have Knickerbocker Avenue back with us, man, talking Knicks basketball. I agree with you, man. The Thunder game was – that was must-see TV. No matter what we were doing as Knicksers, we had to stop. No matter where we were, going, coming, going, whatever, we had to get in front of that TV or be at the Garden or whatever, sports bar, and watch that game and how that go. And that was a Knicks win. I thought some wins are more important than others, in my opinion. I know a win is a win, but there's some wins have more weight. Like when you beat a Cleveland, a Carmelo coming back to the guard, those wins have mean a little bit more, in my opinion. We have an upcoming game coming this Thursday, tough game versus the Celtics. Some wins are more important than the others. So we will have that dialogue, Av, and definitely we're going to have you definitely talk with the stakeholders as well, as you already know how we do. BleedBlueShow.com is being streamed right now, this episode. Bring on Marlo and see if he has anything he is thankful for with our Knicks or just sports in general. Because we're heading into 2017 at Drago NYC on Twitter. Marlo, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Welcome back, Knickerbocker Av, a.k.a. Angel, a.k.a. Knicks Media Assassin. So glad to hear from you again, man. It's been a while.
Thank you, man. He's right about that.
Yeah, definitely. Chandler messaged me. He said that he's not feeling well, so he won't be able to be on tonight, but he wanted to wish everybody well today.
Get well, brother.
Chandler.
Mm-hmm. You guys are coming in choppy to me. Is it just me?
A little bit in and out. A little bit.
Yeah, a little in and out. You hear that? Or is it okay. The Knicks... I'm kind of glad I predicted their record last week. I do, you know, from the last time we spoke, and I knew that I possibly saw them losing like the one game. But you know, the Knicks are doing good. You know, even with their top two that are out, they're still fighting and scrapping, which is always a good sign. The game on Saturday, I wasn't sure how I was going to watch it now because I was kind of concerned, because you guys know, still, even though I'm a Knicks fan, I still cheer for Carmelo because I'm very appreciative of him, and he's my favorite player in the NBA, you know, and I'm not really going to change that, except when he goes up against the Knicks, of course. But, you know, since the fans were booing him last season, I'm not sure what was going to happen this game. But it was just really something seeing him on the other side. And, yeah, the tribute was nice and that they gave him because, you know, the man's been through a lot. You know, you got to, like, you know, echoing the words of what Knickerbocker Av said, the only NBA player who had 84 different teammates and 5 coaches and probably, like, 2-3 GMs in one team for the Knicks. So I think I still feel the Knicks let him down more than anything else. I'm not saying that Dolan did not try to, you know, open up his check and try to get the talent, but it just never worked. It never meshed except that one beautiful season when the 54 win games. I think that was the most excited the Blue Channel was, that 54 win season. We were going crazy that season, you know, and then, Yeah. I digress on that. That season is such a miracle and still hurtful. And I just got to say this too. I always talk about, you know, I always sound like the old man in the room with the new age Knicks fans now, and this booing the player every time he touches the ball and he leaves and burning jerseys. I think that's getting a little bit ridiculous now. You know what I mean? I just feel that. That stuff just needs to stop. I mean, you know, you wanted him gone, he's gone, and now you're booing him every time he touches the ball. It's like, come on, people, which way are you going to flow? It's like this negative anger and lack of respect that's going on with some of these new age fans, sports fans, and not even sports fans, it's just in general, just have this new disdain for each other. It's really sad. But you know, that's a whole different conversation for another day. But you know, there's just that lack of even respect for somebody. It's just really getting bad, and it's an indictment on some people. And and our culture and the society, how we're acting nowadays. But, you know, again, I digress on that. And also, before I even forget, I had to a happy belated birthday to Charles Oakley. Oakley's birthday was like about a few days ago. Him and DMX birthdays on the same day. So that's an interesting crew. But as much as this is what I'm saying too, when it comes to lack of respect, because it's burned in my mind when they kicked out Oakley like that last season. That just really was really, really was disgusting. You don't treat someone like a Oakley who gave his all to the organization and one of the brightest spots we had going up against, you know, being traded from Chicago for Bill Cartwright. And we had Oakley, and Oakley was the man. He was Patrick Ewing's bodyguard. Nobody messed with Oakley with Patrick Ewing. We had Oak. And Oak was always diving to the floor. And even sometimes when we groaned, he did that jump shot. But, you know, you got to respect our culture. And then, you know, seeing stuff like even with Kobe, you know, Kobe just, you know, congratulations to him. They retired both of his jerseys. You know, some of the fans were getting a little sour on him, but, you know, they still gave him respect. Again, I can't put Oakley and Melo in the same sentence as Kobe because they didn't bring any championships. But still, you have your players that were there for you, and sometimes I just feel the people need to be a little bit more respectful. But what I'm happy for in the Knicks, of course, it is the Phil Jackson thing, but, you know, I agree with you guys 150%, this whole thing with Phil Jackson being gone, because, you know, his 4 years and his trying to, force a triangle that nobody wanted to play, and a system that just didn't work with the players, and not trying to bend and being that, you know, that overseer over the franchise was just not a good move. And I think it took too long for Dolan to get rid of him. And now the Knicks are playing freely. The Knicks are playing free. They feel like they have joy in them. They're moving the ball around. Other guys are stepping up when our guys are down. The Knicks aren't just an easy out anymore. So, you know, I'm just really thankful that Phil is gone. I'm thankful that the Knicks are actually playing some good games right now and showing people that we're just not some easy guys and some easy pushovers that you could just do. We have a nice young talent, and I see things going up from here on in for this team.
Shout-outs to Marlo, man. Thank you very much. We're going to get to Dominic, then to Tamika, and then Lou. Let's get to Dom first. Dom, welcome back. Denardo DP on Twitter as well. And I know he has a lot to be thankful for the Knicks, but happy 2017 to you and happy holidays to you, Dom. Welcome back to the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum.
Same to you, buddy. Ma'am, Knickerbocker Ave, I reached out to you. I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you, bro.
Marlo said. This is what we live in, guys. That's the yin and the yang with social media. You got to take it for what it's worth. I always look at social media and it's fun, but it's not real life. I understand everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but sometimes we go a little overboard, like Marlo said. But as far as the Knicks, guys, like I said, there's still probably a game and a half, max, two games, between the fourth and the eighth seed. So we're not where we want to be, but we're farther than where we're supposed to have been. So let's just keep it going. And the funny thing is, the Hornets game, again, when you come out looking like that, this is what you get. You know, I hate to keep saying, we had this conversation last week. I don't care who you're playing on the road. If it's a team you're supposed to beat, then it's a team you're supposed to beat. They were supposed to beat the Hornets. Even being a little injured, they still should have beat the Hornets. So, but as far as the Melo thing, guys, you know how I look at it? Phil Jackson, Carmelo, it's closure. Everybody should have got their closure. Nobody's saying you can't like Melo. I'm not into that. I'm even older school than Marlo. You are not a friend of mine when you're not on our team. You're the enemy. I don't care who you were. You're the enemy. And we got to put on our thinking caps. The Knicks traded Walt Frazier. That was enough for me right there. If you could trade a Walt Frazier, you could trade anybody. But we got to let it go. That's the one thing I got to say about that. It was good to see him come home. Let's put it to bed, and let's concentrate on our team. And so far, again, guys, you look at the standings. Everybody gives the Philadelphia 76ers and their process so much light. And we're an afterthought, which could be a good thing. There's nothing wrong with being an afterthought as long as we maintain. That's how I look at it. I look at all the teams they're building up. Milwaukee's only a game and a half better than us. The Sixers are underneath us. Indiana, I thought they was playing over their head, but they might be pretty good. Oladipo is a really good ball player, and he finally got that chance to shine, just like how the Knicks are now. You took off all the restrictions. You took off the triangle. And this is what we got. Like Marlo said, we got free-flowing basketball. It's fun to watch. Everybody seems to be into it. Michael Beasley is Michael Beasley. Let's not get that twisted. We beat this horse to death since the summertime. He's given us what we thought he would. Or maybe what some didn't think, but you know what? He's given us what he got. And I got to give him a lot of respect to come in with a cloud on him like he's had for years. Not playing for a lot of money and doing what he could do to help this team. You know, you got to remember, he's filling in for the guy that's supposed to be our star, who's already at 6 missed games this early in the season. I forgot what number they came up with in his 3 seasons. This got to be a concern going down the road, guys, when you talk about max contracts and this and that. You know, this injury bug is the 7-foot and above injury bug. Because we love Porzingis, we can't elude that. This has been a problem with big men in the NBA. I mean, we wish him well, but the Knicks are going to be at a crossroads sooner or later with him. Hardaway, I read something today. He's still on the reevaluation program. So, man, when we get healthy, if we get healthy, we should be able to turn the notch up a little bit. And, again, our schedule is not that hard. But we got to beat the teams we're supposed to beat, and we got to beat a Boston. We beat Cleveland. We beat Toronto. We beat some pretty good teams in front of us. We just got to go out and, you know, beat the teams like Boston and then take care of the guys you're supposed to take care of.
That is Dominic. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Dom, for your thoughts. If we go back around to you when we get back to you, let's go to Tamika, Ibley, Orange, and Blue Sports Talk. Let's bring on Tamika. How you doing, Tamika? How's everything?
Good. How are you? Happy holidays, everybody. Good. Just in case I don't get to talk to you guys. And then,
happy holidays.
Okay. So, I liked everything that Dom said and Marlo. You guys know I'm not a Melo fan. Never have been. And I probably never will be. And to me, I think everything was exaggerated for him. We've played many Knicks fans in the past that have left us, got traded, went to other teams. And I don't remember the whole welcoming video and then get the whole press conference afterwards. I definitely, that just hurt my stomach. For one, being a star again, like I mentioned before, yes, you came into New York. You wanted to come to New York. So you should have came to New York and actually made a difference for New York. That's number one. I've been a Knicks fan. I've seen us bleed. We've pounded blood, sweat, and tears with nobodies, and we've had good results. And, again, we asked a little bit of you. Pass the ball, Melo. Play a little defense, Melo. Get some rebounds, Melo. And because that was maybe too much that we asked of you, you failed us. And that's how I felt that he failed us. Phil Jackson, again, despite his triangle, how old and they have been, despite the no clause that he gave Melo, with probably a promise of him being more effective for us, and he didn't produce, so he got bashed. His character got tarnished, and now nobody wants to respect Melo. Oh, because of Phil. Did that to himself. I'm sorry. and the whole Noah contract. Those are probably the main factors for me that I didn't respect for Phil. As far as everything else, he knows basketball. He knows basketball players. He knows how to put teams together. We are basically working with a semi-Phil team as we speak. So as far as that goes, I would love to see how far Phil would have gotten with us as far as putting players together and getting players that he's seen fit for us to win championships because of the direction that the NBA is taking. You know, they want centers to shoot three-pointers now. You know what I'm saying? You need more from Carmelo, and look at what he's doing in OKC. He's not doing enough. You need enough now. These boys are playing more than one role. They're not just playing in one position. And that's going to be the downfall with Carmelo for the rest of his career, maybe. I don't know. But he needs to show a little bit more promise. Not my favorite guy. I'm sorry. I'm not a star person anyway. Moving forward, I loved our games. I love the fact that we beat them and the fact that we had nobody. We had no Timmy. We had no Porzingis. Cantor came in looking sickly, and I'm like, what are we going to do? But we pulled out, and we made it work, and that's New York basketball. That's New York teamwork. That's basketball, period. Like, that's how you play ball to me. You come together and you get it done. This is your profession. This is what you're getting paid to do, produce. And I enjoyed every bit of that game. Charlotte, on the other hand, I don't know. That was so disappointing for me, given the fact that I took it to three amazing stars. Carmelo, Westbrook, and Paul George, like, and then you turn around and lose to Charlotte. I really don't have too many words for that game. I love the direction that we're going into again. I really wished that we had a little bit more light with Phil Jackson. As far as our new GM, I do like that he's have an effort as far as attending each game. You're seeing him being attentive, at least like, okay, let me see what else we can do to add pieces or, you know, take pieces away and try to look for other stars. I see that his brain is working, sitting on the sideline watching. You know, so hopefully he can get some talent over to us in the upcoming year and we can start keep pushing for playoff runs until we get to the finals.
Shout out to Tamika. Thank you very much. Avenue, you heard from Dominic and Marlo and Tamika. What's your thoughts as far as the Hornets game? I thought that was almost damn near a carbon copy as the Indiana Pacers game from a few Mondays ago. I thought the Knicks played well in the first quarter. But I thought the bench let them down in quarter number two. They could have bought a bucket, and Charlotte was making every three, and I was almost gave Frank Kaminsky the Knicks inflate. But I think Frank Kaminsky is very underrated. That's just me. What's your thoughts on what Tamika, Marlo, and Dom said, and then we can go to the next sequel.
Well, towards the Charlotte game, you're absolutely right. I was thinking the same thing about Frank Kaminsky the third, and to be honest, I also feel that he's completely underrated. you know, he was, you know, the National Player of the Year, you know, some years back, the same year that that Porzingis and Karl Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor, D'Angelo Russell were all drafted. He was part of that draft, and you know, I think that he was very underrated, and he should have probably have, you know, gotten higher than what he did. I think he was drafted what, seventh or eighth, neither here nor there. But the Charlotte game was simply the effort was just not there anymore. I mean, you obviously saw the Knicks get up for, you know, Oklahoma, OKC. You see them get up for, you know, for other Eastern Conference opponents, you know, especially like, you know, teams like Cleveland. You know, occasionally they get up for Boston. They got up for Toronto some time ago. They, you know, and they'll put forth that effort and they'll show that fight. But in Charlotte, it's a combination of A, the Knicks just don't do very well on the road. It's like they just don't have the effort. They don't have that energy. They don't have that same fight and moxie that you see when they're playing at Madison Square Garden. So which is something they really need to address, you know, going forward, because, I mean, Dom did say it right. You know, the schedule is not that hard. However, since we played so many home games early on, you know, going into January, February, and later on, you know, a lot of more of these games are going to be on the road. So the Knicks are going to have to figure out, you know, how to get themselves up and ready. And I look at the coaching staff. I look at Jeff Hornacek. I look at Kurt Rambis. I look at them, and I look at, you know, the leaders of this team. I look at Porzingis. I look at Joakim Noah, even though, you know, he's not playing as much, but, you know, I still look at him as a central point figure. Same thing with Jared Jack. Same thing with, you know, with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Michael Beasley. I'm looking at all these guys to really, you know, step it up and start looking at, look, you know, we can't play every game at Madison Square Garden. You know, it's an 82-game season. 41 of them are at home. 41 of them are everywhere else. So, you know, they have to start learning how to get themselves up and ready and put forth the same kind of effort they do at home and put it on the road. The Charlotte game was a combination of that plus, you know, too many, you know, crucial turnovers. Michael Beasley, I think he had like 6 turnovers the entire game. You know, just a lot of lackadaisical basketball. They stopped moving the ball. They stopped, you know, they started becoming a jump shooting team, and they just did. They weren't playing any kind of defense because Charlotte could just walk up to the 3-point line and launch, and they were hitting everything that they could, you know, they can find. And, you know, I think they were a +7 or a +8 on you know, off the glass. That was, you know, that's another big thing. So, you know, you take all the emotion and hoopla from the Saturday night game at Madison Square Garden against Carmelo Anthony and the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then you see a deflated team, you know, get on the plane, you know, fly down to Charlotte and just pretty much shit the bed against the Hornets. And that's something that they need to, you know, remedy going forward, you know, as the season goes on. In terms of what the stakeholders said, you know, Marlo, if you listen to a little bit to the holiday party, I mentioned a little bit, Knicks, you know, the fake fans, the social media fans, sometimes you can call them, you know, these internet groupies. Slowly but surely, you know, you're like a pioneer with this, but it's slowly but surely other fans are getting exposed as, you know, and it was put there in prime, you know, on social media for, you know, for people to see. It's like, you know, you saw the groupies, you know, the mellow groupies and or the mellow haters. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I agree, you know, with a lot that Tamika said. I mean, Carmelo Anthony's biggest problem was that, you know, yes, management failed him, but at the same time, he failed himself as well because he knew what he was, he knew what kind of talent he was, and he knew the kind of clout that he could have very easily had drawn another superstar here, and it didn't happen till when? Till Phil Jackson, you know, stumbled upon a trade for Derrick Rose, and by then Derrick Rose was no longer the MVP that we all know and love and come to admire. So it's twofold. But when it comes to the Phil Jackson situation, you guys already know I'm the anti-Phil, and the reason is because Phil Jackson made the most critical mistake in his, you know, illustrious career, was that he was trying to implement a system, you know, that only he could run and have, and then at the same time cut the coaches' steps in front of the players, demean them, and basically call them out. Had he been like a true model executive and been a true evaluator of talent, like, and used that cachet that 13 NBA championships, 11 as a coach, 2 as a player, you know, comes with, maybe the situation would have been different. If he coached the team himself, or at least just implemented the triangle, but evolve it, you know, just like every other team in the NBA, San Antonio, Golden State, you know, just to name a few, maybe, you know, maybe Phil Jackson's situation wouldn't, you know, would promising he'd still be here. But hey, he got $24 million to go away. So, you know, he's sitting pretty in his lake house in Montana anyway. And, you know, as far as the acceptable hate, that's pretty much what it is on social media. So Marlo, you know, shout out to you because you always call them out, but it's what it is. It's acceptable hate. You know, for, you know, when you got players being booed every time they touch a, or their jerseys being burned, or situations like that happen. But hey, it is what it is. But you know where the real fans are, and that's the only ones you have to really sit there and listen to.
All right, let's get to Lou and get his thoughts, and then I'll chime in to bring back on Lou. Lou, what's up, man? Talk to us, Knicks. It's like, Merry Knicksmas. How's everything? All right, let's go to Dre. Is Dre there? Yes, hello?
Yeah, man. What's up,
hey, Dre, what's up? Talk to us, man. What was your thoughts, man? Are you anything to be thankful for the Knicks? What's your thoughts as far as the Thunder game, the Hornets game? Matter of fact, I'll even ask you, upcoming Boston game, Pistons game, Sixers on Christmas. What's your thoughts?
Okay, well, first off, the thoughts on getting back to where the Knicks were at, Phil. I don't know who said him being seen, like having his time a little bit longer, but him was good riddance, and here's why. The one thing I even said, he got Porzingis. He didn't even do that, because I remember I read an article, I forgot what was it, news station, but long story short, the GM that we've been had, Steve Mills, right? Long story short, he basically highly recommend, if not begged, Phil to get KP. So in other words, Phil didn't even got the player himself out for that one. And then all the moves he did, just overall thing, it was just bad as a GM. Like it's almost as bad almost getting to Isaiah Thomas, but we're not gonna get that deep far into it. But thankful for him being gone, thankful for the young pieces they got. And the toughness they're showing that we haven't seen in a very long time, which is well-deserved. And the Charlotte Hornets game, I was not surprised at all, only because, like you said, like everybody said online before, they just struggle on the road, but on home, it's like they click. Now, the one thing I'm going to have to say that no one ain't bring up is it was a while back, though, I think Tuesday, Frank – I'm telling you, when we went against the Lakers, when they went to OT, which you shouldn't have, but he stepped up and that game got a whole lot more efficient. And just seeing him grow as of right now, it's something I'm actually honored to see. And I'm already saying it right now, Kawhi Leonard. That's all I got to say until I got my next go. So I'll give it back to you.
All right, cool, man. Thank you very much. Shout out to Dre on that. I want to go back to what Marlo alluded to when it comes to fans, and you have fans that root for certain players. See, I blame the fans to a certain extent as far as if they want to go that route as far as rooting for player versus team, but I also look at it from a perspective that players are individual brands as well. So Carmelo Anthony is a brand, and he created a following. So I'm not going to fault certain people latching on to a brand like Carmelo Anthony, the individual player. That's, you have Melo fans, and you have, they were Knicks fans by association because they were Melo fans. And that's all created by the players. And that goes across the board with any NBA player in the league. And I think NBA does a good job, or the individual players do a good job, creating their own individual fan following outside of the team. So, I mean, a lot of us are old school, Dominic, Marlo, myself, Av, Tamika, we're old school fans. We're about the team. We're about what's on the front of the jersey, not what's on the back. So when it comes to the new age fans, I mean, I think that has – I'm not knocking it at all. I'm not knocking it at all, but that's what I'm seeing. That's what my perspective is as far as individual players marketing towards having fan followers. That's what the followers are all about on Instagram. How many followers you could get? I mean, they're following the fan. I mean, following the player, not necessarily the team per se. I mean, some people are like, "Well, I'm an OKC fan now because Melo's on Oklahoma City." So, I mean, I can't blame them for that. I can't blame fans for doing that. Now, as far as where I stand, as far as Melo, I mean, I'm team first all day, any day. I have no problem with fans booing Carmelo Anthony once the tip off happened on Saturday night. But looking forward, going forward, I like I said, as far as the Boston game on Thursday, I think that's a test game, man. I think the Knicks definitely need that game more than anything. The Boston beat up on the Knicks earlier this year in Boston. They need this game. The Celtics are struggling tonight versus the Heat, a Heat team that's got No injury. I mean, a lot of injuries. They're missing a lot of players tonight. They're up on the Celtics a lot. Maybe the Knicks on a day's couple of days rest where they could come up and maybe play some hard basketball and maybe beat up on the Celtics. The Hornets game, I'm going to go back to the Hornets game. We'll go back around. But the Hornets game, I just think the bench really let us down in that game. Defensively, they could have stopped nobody. They didn't want to put up a hand in nobody's face. Offensively, they couldn't buy a bucket. Charlotte made their threes, the Knicks couldn't, and then pretty much the second quarter was your differential. I don't know. It's a combination of the Knicks can't win on the road, or is it more so that and as well as what happened in Charlotte? In Oklahoma City. That was an emotional game for everybody involved in that game. I know they had a day's rest and they had to fly down to Charlotte, but still, the Knicks should have played with better effort. They did. They played all right in the first quarter. They were only down 4-6 after one, and that was mostly the starters. Jarrett Jack had a nice little groove. Beasley, when he had a couple points, he had a couple of blocks. There's a little bit of a disappearance. Maybe to me, I don't know if you guys noticed, Cantor offensively hasn't been as impactful like once he once was early in the year when we had a full deck, meaning when all the players were there, Hardaway Jr., Kristaps Porzingis. Cantor, to me, has kind of been more quiet offensively than I expect him to be. And I don't know if you guys take notice with that. Maybe we could go back around. We'll go back around. We'll also get everybody's thoughts. If you guys have any questions for another stakeholder on this episode, if Marlo, if you want to ask Dom or Tamika or Av or myself or Dre a question, feel free. We'll go right back down the line. So, Marlo, feel free. The floor is yours. Anything else you'd like to add? Any points you heard from anybody else? And if you have any questions or you want to dialogue with somebody else on this platform, feel free. Floor is yours, and we'll go right down the line.
I really don't have too much of questions for anybody, but well, I guess maybe a question I have for everyone that's on here is, and Dom has been saying this actually since Kristaps has been here, KP can't stay healthy. You know, I mean, since his rookie season, he's been dealing with these injuries, and yeah, I know he's 7'3" and he's light. He put on some weight, and it's the curse of the big man, because big men have that, but that's concerning. And also as concerning is these road wins. I know it's a young team, and sometimes young teams have to go through their growing pains with trying to establish it. But, you know, like someone mentioned before, you got some veterans on there. You got Courtney Lee on there. You got Jarrett Jack. You got, unfortunately, you still have Noah on the team. So, I mean, there's some, it's not like it's a all young team. They're younger, but they have Cantor on there. They have guys who've been and experienced this stuff that should try to get these guys to try to string some wins together. But that's concerning in KP's health, because, again, KP is such a special talent with the things that he can do and his abilities that he can do at his height. And, because KP's his footwork, his in and out work. I mean, it's just he doesn't have a strong base. You know, when you look at the Carl Anthony Towns or the Boogie Cousins Anthony Davis, who isn't as tall as KP, but all these guys now almost have like the same type of set. They try to shoot the ball from the three. I think KP shoots better from the three, actually, from all the guys I just mentioned. But that's got to be a concern too with the Knicks going forward. I think it's good that they are kind of rest, you know, if anything, that he's trying to recover at this time instead of when things get later in the game. But that whole thing with KP's health, I'm not sure how anybody else feels, but I think that's a little concerning. And also a question I have to ask for people on here, do you guys think that the Knicks need to make a move, try to do a trade before the trade deadline? Because I still feel that I think they're still too top heavy with all their bigs. And someone mentioned on the other show on an earlier program about, Cantor, and, you know, you might have to pay him. Not saying that you get rid of him or anything, but there might be some things you might want to move, like maybe get a little bit more athletic or maybe get another wing or something like that. So I guess my two questions is for everybody is the concern with KP's health. And do you feel that before the trade deadline, do the Knicks need to make move, or should they just stand pack how they are?
All right, cool. We'll take that question to Dominic. Dominic, same thing. If you have any questions or thoughts for any stakeholder on this line, any additional points you want to say for the Knicks or about the Knicks, and Marlo's two questions as far as, well, actually it came from you to Marlo, and now it's going back to you, Kristaps Porzingis' health, and what about trade?
The thing with Porzingis, and accidentally Marlo brought up another guy that's missed quite a few games in his career, Anthony Davis. You look at the body and you look at the injuries, and you know what, guys? I think in a lot of our generations, the only big guy we've seen that was athletic and lasted, may not have been as tall as these guys, but played the big man role, was Hakeem Olajuwon. After him, we started losing big men. We started losing big men like snowflakes, from Shaq to Ewing. You know, Ewing put wear and tear on himself. But look at all the big guys. Yao Ming, he lasted, what, a hot 10 minutes? It's just something about those big guys. Getting to the deals, yeah, they got to make a deal. They got to get rid of Hernan Gomez. Try to get rid of him now to get something, because putting him on the bench, his stock is dropping real quick, real quick. And it brings me back to one of y'all said about Kaminsky being underrated. Well, of course, I live in Carolina, so I see a lot of the Hornets games that I always mention to y'all. But here's the funny thing about Kaminsky. Kaminsky was the one that exposed Okafor in that national championship game. I don't know if you guys remember when Duke beat Wisconsin. Okafor rode the bench at the end of the game because he had no answer for Kaminsky.
Yes,
that
he
was
did.
The end of Okafor. That was the end of Okafor. I tried to tell people then. I watched him all the time. His work ethic sucked. He didn't move well. He didn't do nothing without the ball. He couldn't check the coach. So this was nothing new to me, seeing the glass slipper come off Okafor. I knew Kaminsky was good. But the thing about him, Nikabaka F, when you talk about going late in drafts, this is what happens when you do 4 years in college. Look at what's been going on in the NBA. Guys that do 4 years of college, they're like an afterthought now. Somebody wants to build, you know, right now, but still we got to wait 3 to 4 years. Ball, Fultz, Jackson, all these guys that have been one and done, what are they really doing? Are they really having, which brought me to a pause with Frank Ntilikina. You know, every other team is doing it. These guys ain't burning up no spotlights. Simmons sat out a year, so he's really a rookie, but he can't shoot to save his life. Embiid sat out 3 seasons, basically a rookie, because he only had about 33 games in 3 years. So if they can wait, so can we. I mean, but the Knicks have to – I won't say have to make a move, guys, but I think it would show – I always mess his name up. Steve, the GM for the Knicks.
Scott Perry.
Perry. By making a move would at least energize the fan base. We're already energized right now. We got a good product. We got some spots we could fill. And I love what Tamika said. I don't care how young, how old these guys are. You're professionals. Y'all heard me say that all the time. You're a professional. You're getting paid a pretty good dollar to get out there and do your job. I don't care if you've been in the league 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. This is your job. Me and you can't go to work, though I don't work anymore. We can't go to work and not produce. And that was the downfall of Okafor. I didn't want to hear how young he was. Put your big boy pants on. You got a big boy contract. You got drafted at a big boy position. But how's that worked out for him? He just wasn't that good. And by us holding on to Gomez, we may blow a great opportunity. You know, he's probably good. He's not that good. But if we don't do something with him now, we may be stuck with him because he's not getting no playing time. So he's going to become an afterthought to everybody else in the league. So, yes, I think it's time maybe you could package him, Sessions. We know we ain't getting rid of Noah. They got to do something with that. But if you package Hernan Gomez, you know, with a couple of players that we're really not using, like a session, somebody might want him. He's a great professional. And get something back now. We may blow a golden opportunity. That's the only thing that's been on my mind with a shady thought and a one eye open is with Gomez. You know, we're not playing him. Is he going to become an Okafor? You don't play him, and then teams are hesitant. Well, if they ain't playing him, why should we trade for him? We can't miss this opportunity. And if this GM, you know, not saying he got to strike gold. Me and a friend of mine, he used to call in Craig. We had this conversation during the week because we talk on the phone a lot about the Knicks. You don't need a top-tier player. You need a very good role player that could fit some kind of position that we need, whether it's a perimeter shooter or a rebounder, something. You don't have to go for the sky. Just get a good piece because we have good pieces. Which brings me back to the Carmelo thing, as Tamika said. We put a lot into you, bro. A lot into you, a lot of money into you, and at the end of the day, you didn't produce. We can't say you didn't have nobody around you because we don't have nobody around us now. You could call it a coincidence. You could say, hey, we got rid of a black hole, and this is what you get when you get rid of a black hole. You get ball movement. You get energy. You get people that are enthused. You get people that aren't standing around watching somebody go one on three. And this is the end result of it. So we got to put that puppy to bed too. And I'm not knocking Melo or Melo fans, but it is what it is. You see how we're playing this year. You could call it a coincidence. I choose not to. I choose to believe that we got rid of a certain individual that never bought into the team aspect of basketball. And he never bought into the change in times of the NBA, just like Phil Jackson. This is what I mean. This is a great day, guys, before Christmas. We can all rejoice and we can look back and say, you know what? We got rid of a couple of dark clouds, and say what you want on both ends, getting rid of Phil, getting rid of Melo. We're better than we were. Will it last? I hope, because I'm not looking for the glass slipper to break. I'm hoping we can run this gauntlet, make the playoffs, and then we could put all of this to bed. But it's just very strange, guys, that we got rid of Phil, got rid of Melo, we're playing better ball, we're averaging giving up less points a night. So, I'll let everybody else be the judge.
All right, cool. Dominic, thank you very much. Let's go to Tamika and then get to the other stakeholders. But Tamika, any additional thoughts on the Knicks' upcoming games this week? Marlo's question as far as Kristaps Porzingis' health, as well as any moves or trades that the Knicks should make.
I do feel that we need more of a effective person on defense. We need another hard body. O'Quinn is in there. He's playing as hard as he can, but he's foul. Like, every time he starts getting hot, here come the foul calls. So we need another hard defensive player down here for us. Porzingis is trying to play center. He's trying to play his position. He's trying to bring offense. He's trying to play defense. He's putting a lot of wear and tear on his lanky body. He needs more help defensively. His injuries is a problem, and it's bothering me as well. He's not staying healthy enough, and if we do finally get in at the bottom playoff seed and we do have a chance to make a run for something, is he going to stay healthy enough for us to make a run? We've proven that we can play without him, but how long can we do it? How long will we last? Cantor, I like him. And again, the matchup, Cantor is not effective enough because Porzingis isn't in the game. When Porzingis and Cantor is in the game is more effective for Cantor. It's something about them two together that makes the ball movement, or maybe it's them playing off of each other that makes it effective. It makes Cantor look good. But without Porzingis, Cantor isn't useless to us. And that was my observation. with the whole Cantor not looking as good as he does when Porzingis is in the game. We do need to make a trade run. For who, for what, I really don't. Sessions, I don't know. Hernandez Gomez would be a good piece. I even think Dotson would be a good piece just because he's proven that he can play. You know, you can use him, even Beasley, but I don't want to lose Beasley. That's my guy right there. I would love to see Beasley stay with us. That's what I have so far.
Cool. Let's go back to Dre, and then we'll get on to bring on another stakeholder. Let's get to Dre. Dre, Marlo's question as far as Porzingis' health, are you have any thoughts on that as well as any moves to be made as well? Go ahead and bring it back on Dre.
Well, I ain't really seen it as a concern yet, only because we haven't gotten that deep far into the season where we're really mad. What I mean by that is where, okay, this is part where teams start yelling. It's like, okay, now we got to start. Now it's like time. Okay, now we got to start, like, hunting for them playoff seeds. And off to the other question, I already said it. I think I said it before. Willie Herring go. I have to say trade Willie Herring goes because, number one, I don't see no one taking Enes Kanter, not because of the skill, but let's say not enough skill in the contract otherwise. I would actually rather keep Kyle O'Quinn because he gives you everything, not every like you want from a role player. Decent mid-range shooting, protects the paint, in a good backup about 20 minutes. Willie Herring Gomez at 23 years old, and not only if I'm not mistaken, I think probably last year you had a couple of Knicks fans saying him actually be able to worth starting for the Knicks. Now him being on the bench, you can't let young prospect talent ride like that on the bench. You might as well at least be able to trade him and see if you can get like a small forward to help out basically like in that weaker position. And that's pretty much it.
All right, cool, man. Thank you very much, Dre, on that. Let's get to a sim and then go back to Av as far as Drago NYC's question. That would be Marlo. A sim, we're talking about Kristaps Porzingis' health. That was a question from Marlo. And what about possible trades? How you feel about the Knicks play this past week with the Thunder, the Hornets, upcoming games, Celtics lose to the Heat, and we got the Celtics, Pistons, and Sixers on Christmas. Sim, welcome back. I'll talk to you.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? The win Saturday was good. I can't really kill them. They for the game in Charlotte, they couldn't buy a bucket, man. It wasn't to say like okay, it was Charlotte's defense because there was a lot of open shots that they missed. So I just chalked it up to they had a bad quarter. And that set them behind because they didn't have the personnel, and to be able to make a run to come back in that game offensively, defensively. There was some lapses, things that they could clean up. The good thing is we haven't really seen games. They haven't had too many games like that this year where they've pretty much been completely out of the game. The only other games I could think of is like that game against Houston. At the Garden, and then the other game that they played in Houston, really the only two that came to mind. But you're definitely going to have to make a move. They are top-heavy in the front court. They still need the number one need for this team is definitely a dribble drive wing or a point guard because Porzingis is having to work too hard for his baskets. Even Kanter is having to work a little bit too hard for his baskets inside. So if you got a guy who could, get into the teeth of the defense and then drop the ball off, get those guys a couple of open shots, it will make life a whole lot easier. As far as Porzingis' injury, I'm not going to say it's a super worrisome problem. I mean, you'll hope that he doesn't get injured, but, I mean, most of us are older, so we can remember, but you go back to Patrick Ewing's first 2 years in the NBA. His first year in the NBA, he missed 32 games. And this second season, he missed 19 games. So if we're going off of that, we would have written Ewing saying that he wouldn't have made it 5-6 years in the NBA the way he was hurt in the beginning. Even though he went to college for 4 years, he still had to get into his grown man's body eventually. And, everybody's forgetting, KP came into this league at 19, he still hasn't gotten to his grown man strength yet. He's not going to come into his own until he's about 23 or 24. That's probably when his body is going to be physically matured enough to be able to handle this type of pounding that it's taking. But You look at his first 2 years, he missed 10 games his first year because he played 72 games. And last year, he played in 66 games. So he only missed 16 games. So you're talking about missing a total of 26 games in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? It's not super ideal, but it's not the worst. It could be worse. We could have a situation like Embiid. Well, now I'm saying he only played like 30 games in 3 years. So, you know, you would like to see him not get injured as much, but you also got to take into consideration that, you know, his body is not fully developed as a man yet, man. It is nothing that any of us could do to rush that. He can't even rush that. He can lift as many weights as he wants to, do pull-ups, do whatever he wants to do. Just physically, your body is going to mature over time. Because everybody that came in skinny was like that. Kevin Garnett was skinny like that. You ain't really see that guy miss too many games once he got that grown man strength, so it would just take time. This is definitely a time that if Porzingis can play, they should definitely try to see if they could get that game against Boston for the simple fact that Boston is kind of reeling a little bit now. I don't know if it's because the season is kind of catching up to them or the other teams in the league have kind of figured out what it is that they want to do. But they've been having a rough go of it, you know, the last couple of games. They lost to Chicago. Last I checked, they were losing to Miami tonight. So it's one of those situations where it's a win that you can get. Hopefully, I would like to see if they could beat Detroit, even though it's on the road. You know, we had them up 20-plus points their first game in the Garden. And the team was just getting their footing together. They really didn't know how to close, and, you know, everybody was pretty much getting used to one another now. But, you know, we right around Christmas time, we're over 30 games in. I kind of like the way the team is flowing, you know, the way that they play, you know, together. And hopefully they can make a few improvements. Maybe you can find a trade to you know, as far as in the backcourt, and we could go from there. But I'm liking the progress that I see, and, you know, Dom say it every day, and I see it, and I agree with him, man. For me, tanking is not an option, because if you've been a Knicks fan as long as I've been, we've been tanking for like the last 15 to 20 years, and we ain't been trying to tank. So, you know, I'm not going to get overly excited. I've been saying all year I'm going to be cautiously optimistic, but do I see signs? Are they taking baby steps? They're taking baby steps every single game, every single week. They're taking baby steps in the right direction, and that's all we can ask for. So as long as they keep progressing, you know, game by game and week by week, that's good enough for me.
Shout outs to his son. Thank you very much. Av, you heard everybody's thoughts, and what about your answers to Marlo's questions as far as Porzingis' health? Any moves that out there that you would like to address or attend to, and anything else you'd like to add, then we'll go around for final thoughts.
Well, the Porzingis injury issue, Sim just hit it on the head. It's not that serious yet, but it is something that you have to look into, because as the years go on, and I mean, they're already talking about, you know, if Porzingis would, you know, would entertain a maximum contract extension, something along the lines of a 5-year, $150 million, similar to what Embiid got for 33 games. So, I mean, Porzingis has missed what a total of 33 games in three seasons. Embiid played 33 games and he got that contract. So that should just tell you that Porzingis is, you know, is guaranteed to have his money whether he wants it or not, whether he wants to stay in New York or not. But to me, it is somewhat of an issue, because it is something that you know that you want to ensure that he, you know, that he's taking care of, that he's attentive of it, you know, that he understands and identifies his own, and also that the coaching and training staff understand it. Therefore, if they need to start limiting his minutes, you know, especially in the second and third quarters, you know, so that way, you know, he can start the game and then, of course, be healthy and ready enough for the fourth quarter, especially during crunch time, that he can be, the most effective player on the court, you know, with 7'3", you know, a 7'6" wingspan, and, you know, the ability to hit a 3-point shot. I mean, that goes without saying. We already know what Porzingis is. In terms of, you know, should the Knicks make a move? I'm not really sure yet. I don't know whether we can really, you know, definitively say that right now, because the season is still kind of young. We're only 30 games in. We have 50 more to go, and you have to really you know, look around the league and see, all right, who's out there to be had, you know, and then at the same time, what kind of contracts are you willing to take back? You know, what kind of assets are you willing to, you know, to deal? The Knicks do have, you know, their first round picks that they can, you know, that they can deal with, which we already know. The fan base, you know, will not entertain any kind of a deal that requires the first round pick, unless it's, you know, like a guaranteed superstar that, you know, that's within his 20s and is ready to go, that can push us over the hump. But the Knicks are not there yet. Going forward, do I think that they should, you know, consider moving Hernan Gomez? I don't see why not. I mean, you got a 6'10", you know, forward center type player, you know, with a very easy and movable contract. He only makes about 1.5 next year, and then the year after that. And he's, he does give you effort. The only thing is he does not fit the offensive scheme currently with Jeff Hornacek, and that's, you know, to the fact that Kanter and O'Quinn and Porzingis have played so well. But if they do make a move, I mean, I would like to see a wing. I would like to see them, you know, look for probably, you know, another two guard small forward combination, can't play defense. You know, maybe, you know, similar to what Courtney Lee does, you know, a 3-and-D guy. But if you let him be a 3-and-D guy and not having to, you know, as Don would say, you know, have him chase, you know, point guards, you know, like they did last season. The schedule, you know, the schedule coming up, you know, Boston, Detroit, and then of course, you know, the Christmas Day game against the Sixers at home. I really would like them to get that Boston game, but you know, from what I'm hearing, Porzingis may not be ready for tomorrow night's game. They're probably looking at him for Friday night as opposed to tomorrow night. But I mean, things can change in the next 24 hours. You never know. And just overall, just to answer the question again and reiterate, I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world right now with Porzingis' injuries, but it is something that's concerning. And you know, going forward, that's something that, you know, that he and the Knicks training staff and the coaching staff really evaluate. Maybe they need to scale back his minutes. And then, you know, while you're at it, if you're thinking about moving Hernan Gomez, start giving him some of those minutes, you know, so that way he can build up his stock and maybe we can make a move come the February trade deadline.
You've got an excellent point about that, Ad, because I am actually concerned about Porzingis' health as far as him always being banged up. I forgot what game it was. You guys probably could remind me where he just, all he did was, I think it was the Chicago game on Saturday, a couple Saturdays ago. All he did was chase a guy in the lane, and he came up lame on his knee. I don't know if it was Chicago. It was one of those games. I can't remember exactly which one he came out.
I think
out.
It was a Brooklyn game.
And I don't think he – it wasn't Brooklyn. It was definitely a road game. It was Brooklyn. That's right. It was Brooklyn. I'm sorry. Because that was the game, Courtney Lee, you know, did well in the fourth quarter. But this is a concern for me, man. KP6, his health, I know he's young. It's like you gotta be patient with it in a sense, and you don't know where it could go. He hustles hard, he plays hard, he works a lot hard. I think a lot of it has to do with sometimes is maybe it's the lack of ball movement. We got it, and we need to find another scorer who has the ability to create. Now, part of it is also Tim Hardaway Jr. Him being out puts less pressure off of KP6 creating his own shot. So it's kind of a domino effect in that sense. It's concerning, but I have to be patient and really wait this out. And I think it will be good in the long run. It's really frustrating to see him not play every game or close to every game at this point. And as far as Knicks making a move or a trade, I'm not a fan of the shortcut stuff because I think that's a lot of the reason why the Knicks have been where they've been the last, 16 years for the most part. Some trades, very few trades have worked in our favor. Most trades have just been a waste of time. Now, if you're talking about showcasing a lot of the guys who are forwards, now it's going to be real hard to get rid of Noah. So that's that's not being realistic. This is not a video game. Getting rid of Noah is going to be hard. So that's, I'm not even going to look at that. But if you're talking about somebody like a Hernan Gomez, you got to give him minutes. You got to find a way to get him in there. Unless he comes out publicly and vents his frustration on a lack of playing time and he forces the Knicks hand, that's another way to make it happen. But if you're going to get something in return for him, it has to be somebody who's somewhat of a proven commodity and who could come in right away. There's no point of trading somebody just to have them sit on the bench. You got to get something that's what we already were needing, or something we need as far as a point guard or somebody who could create their own shot, who's going to drive, maybe defense, or somebody who's a little bit of everything when it comes to that. If I was to look at every NBA roster right now, I'm not going to do that tonight. I probably have to come back on another podcast, unless there was a Knicks trade the next time we do this fan forum. I can't think of any player right now that's available that we could do that right now. So that's something the Knicks probably could hold off. Let the Knicks be at full strength. I think the Knicks have done a decent job without all their players at the same time, and they're still like around 500, a game above 500. They've done a decent job despite these injuries, man. When the Knicks were all intact, they were playing well. And then when Hardaway went out, Kristaps Porzingis went out, some guys went out. You know, I think they've done a decent job as far as keeping this thing together. And then the Hornets game is just like the Pacers. The Pacers game was worse. When we went to Indiana and they just pretty much cleaned their clock, they had no energy at all in that game. Where I thought the Knicks, it really fell apart in the second quarter. They had a decent start. I'm willing to like move on from the game, especially what happened to the game in at home. But they got a huge home. They got a couple of home games between Thursday and Monday. You got the game in back to back with Detroit and Boston. So let's see what the Knicks go. Let's go around for final thoughts and get everybody on their final thoughts as well. Let's go to Marlo. Your final thoughts, sir, and thank you very much for always joining the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, where our voices could be heard. Marlo, your final thoughts.
Well, it was a great day before the holiday, because not only was it the return of Knickerbocker Ave, a.k.a. Angel, also Asim blessed us today. So I was happy to hear from both of you guys. It's been so long. So, hopefully things will start going good for this team. We'll see how it goes, and they can start increasing their wins on the road and KP's health, because Asim did make a great point. I remember Patrick Ewing was injured a lot when he first, as a rookie, his first few years, and then he was able to overcome some of those injuries. So we'll see how it goes. And to everybody on here, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to those. Merry Knicksmas to us Knicks fans. And again, Bleed Blue, excellent show. We've been here for years. It sounds like a rap song, but I've been here for years. And this show just keeps getting better and better. And again, even though I talk about my frustrations, I already don't go into the Twitter trolls, because I know that on Wednesday I can have a real intelligent conversation and debate with knowledgeable Knicks fans and with Knicks fans whose history runs deep. And something like that is what's great about what the Bleed Blue Show brings. You know, you get people who've been there, who've been through the ups and downs, who's been through the Isaiah years, the Patinos, the everything that we went through as a fan base. And we have this forum to talk about this stuff. So very grateful, Steve, to you and the Godfather, if he's listening. But again, merry, happy holidays, merry Knicksmas, merry Christmas, blessings and everything great for everybody. And we look forward to this new year coming up. Thank you.
Shout outs to Marlo, man. Thank you very much for always repping Knicks, fighting off the Knicks trolls, Hubie Brown years, Stu Jackson, Don Nelson. You name it, man. We went through some health situations, man. So you're right, man. And it's glad to have knowledgeable Knicks fans like yourself come on and talk weekly, all year round, on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Let's get the Dominic DiNardo DP on Twitter. Your final thoughts, sir. And then we could go to the next stakeholder, which would be Tamika. Let's go to Don first. Final thoughts from Don.
First and foremost, Merry Christmas to everybody. And, of course, Knickerbocker Ave knows I have to give a shout-out to all our men and women that may not be joining us for Christmas. They're in our hearts. Job well done. As far as the Knicks goes, guys, we're 11 games away from the midway part of the season. We're 16-14. I keep trying to remind everybody, as though the going gets rough, we'll still have to play teams in the Eastern Conference. So if we stay at water, a little bit above water, there's going to come a time where we're playing the Orlandos, the Brooklyns, the Miamis, the Atlantas. So far, so good, guys. Nobody expected this. The one thing I love about – I got to go against what you're saying, Steve, about the trades we made in the past. Again, everybody's got to recuperate. We got to stop looking in the past and have faith in this guy that's running the organization that this is our direction, the pieces we need going forward for this team and the direction we're going in, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to pull the trigger. We can't keep going back in the past, guys. That's what kills a lot of Knicks fans. We'll go back, we'll go back. Like my man Sim always says, that I tell him all the time, baby steps. Sooner or later, these baby steps are going to become bigger steps. 16-14, while a baby step, I'm telling you now, nobody saw it coming, but here we are. And guess what? Again, 11 games, guys, and we'll be at 41 games. I'm not going to look at the schedule. But if we're 2-4 games above 500 at 41 and we're going down the home stretch, again, that's when we'll start playing the Eastern Conference teams. So there's room for improvement, of course. But then again, guys, there's a game and a half difference between the fourth and the eighth seed. And we beat this puppy to death. 1-2-3, okay. Now it's become 4-5-6-7-8 is up for grabs. Why can't we be up for grabs with it? That's it for me. And again, Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a Happy New Year. Well, we'll be on, you know, and a Happy New Year in case we don't talk by then. Thanks, Steve.
Dominic, thank you very much. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you as well. Denardo DP on Twitter as well. Let's go to Tamika and get her final thoughts. Tamika, your final thoughts on the Knicks upcoming games, anywhere you would like to go with this with your final thoughts.
Okay, final thoughts. Upcoming games. Oh, by the way, Boston did lose tonight by one. It was 89-90.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
Was that a trap game for the Celtics?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm watching the Lakers and Rockets game right now, and they're taking it to the Rockets with about 3 minutes, 3.5 left. But neither here nor there. I wanted to salute Vince Carter for retiring. His last game with Toronto, that was heartfelt. I like Vince Carter. He's the oldest player left in the NBA playing on the court. So shout outs to him and kudos to Kobe for retiring his jerseys the other night. Go Knicks. Again, when you're dealing with injuries, it's a hit or miss. They can get better, they can heal, or it can get worse. When you're dealing with knees, ankles, and especially back injuries, that's a very iffy situation because their job is consistent activity and consistent moving and consistent, you know, up and down and pit and pat, and that's wear and tear regardless of how you look at it. So regardless, this is something that we still need to pay attention to in the long run, in the near future. And again, happy holidays, everybody. I'm new to this, so Knickerbocker Avenue, hello. I'm Miss New York Nick. We'll have I Bleed Orange and Blue on Facebook. And have a happy holidays and a happy new year, even though I talked to you guys on Wednesday.
Shout out to Tamika. Thank you very much on chiming in with us talking Knicks week in, week out here on Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Shout out to Tamika. Let's go to Dre, get his final thoughts, and then go to his sim, and of course, Ab. Dre, your final thoughts.
Like Dom said, it is just one game at a time for the Knicks. Because I'm not getting my hopes up too high yet because everything can change in just about eight-game game. But in terms of that, I'm liking what I'm seeing from the youngsters. They all growing, and hopefully they keep maintaining this energy. And I'm curious about this question. Do y'all think y'all can believe seeing Frank playing 25 to 30 minutes, if not starting in the starting lineup?
Towards the end of the season. 8.5, 9.5, 10.5, 11.
Man, happy holiday.
12.5 sacks, bro.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Shout out to Dre, man. Thank you very much on your final thoughts, Dre. Let's get to a Sim and then add. Sim, your final thoughts.
Yeah. Just want to see the team play, cohesive basketball on offense, spirited on defense. And, just trust the progress that the team has, man. Trust the progress is looking good. And, it's not really too much to complain about. For years we've been complaining about a team that lacks effort and don't want to try. And the one thing we can say about this team is they may not win every game, but they will show effort and they will try. Sometimes they might be out-talented, but they still try. And, just to everybody, have a happy holiday. And, to echo Dom, heart and thoughts goes out to the servicemen and women of this country that are out there, risking their lives for all the liberties and stuff that we get to enjoy, and they don't get to spend this time with their family. They're giving a very big sacrifice, and some of them give the ultimate sacrifice of their life. So let's not lose sight of that. And, if you see a vet or somebody, make sure you always thank them for their service. And, everybody just have a happy holiday. I know we'll be back on Wednesday. And, I know the year is getting ready to end out. So I just wanted to say to Steve, my brother, as always, pretty much we're getting ready to close another year. But it's another year on this platform, whether it's hockey or basketball, baseball, or football, which we'll be getting into tomorrow. I got to thank you and the Godfather Chris for this platform, for us to express ourselves as fans, but also to, make knowledgeable connections with a lot of brothers and sisters out there from different walks of life that we probably would never interact with like that. But, through our love of sports and teams, you bring so many people together, man, and it's cool. It's something I love, man. I'm glad to be a part of it. So I just wanted to thank y'all again, man. And everybody have a good holiday. And bleed blue.
Shout-outs to Sim. And, Sim, thank you very much. Visible Bully Zero on Twitter. But, yo, man, that's what it's about, man. This platform was created to have knowledgeable, intelligent, passionate, respectful dialogue between sports fans and bring them all together at one point or another, man. However you wanted to do it, man. Sam, I can't thank you for enough for over the years to talk sports with you and definitely on the other platforms as well, man. We can't thank you enough, man. Really, really appreciate all you guys, not just myself or Chris, just everybody, man. That's what the whole platform is about, is stakeholders. That's why we call them stakeholders. We all have equal say. Thank you very much to Sam on that avenue. And your final thoughts, and tell everybody how you can be found on social media. And once again, welcome back from, injury, if you want to call it that. But it's glad to have Av back, that perspective from Knickerbocker Avenue. And tell everybody how you'll be found on social media and your final thoughts as well. And then we'll wrap up.
Instagram. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Knickerbocker Avenue. I'm going to mess with Dom a little bit because I did look at the next 11 games. The schedule is not that bad. I mean, aside from the Boston, Detroit, Philadelphia, two games with the Bulls, two games with the Spurs, one with the Pelicans, one with the Wizards, the Heat, and the Mavericks. That's basically our next 11 games. So it is doable for the Knicks to be above 500 at the halfway point. This platform, has given me a voice, has given so many of us a voice. So, I want to wish a very happy Bleed Blue holiday to every one of the stakeholders, all the listeners, all the contributors, to all the great contributors, happy holidays to Major Proud, New York Yankee Talk, Frontliners, Tamika, Chandler, get well soon, my brother, Dom, Marlo, Asim, my boy Dre, I know you're listening, but my brother, you know, happy holidays to everybody. A merry, very merry Nixmas, you know, to you, Steve, to the Godfather, to, you know, to all the callers that, you know, that participate in every one of our platforms, whether it's the Yankees, the Giants, the Knicks, and the Rangers. I'm drinking too much Coquito. I got to stop. Seriously. In terms of, you know, if you know, while you're spending this happy holiday, you know, as Dom and as the Simmons said, while you spend your happy holiday, you know, with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones, you know, be mindful and thankful to, you know, to the brave men and women, you know, overseas, all across the world that are defending our liberties. Semper Fi to the Marines, hoo-ah to all, you know, all the Army dogs, Navy, Air Force, you know, whatever uniform you're wearing, be, you know, we're very thankful, and we can never express how appreciative we are of what you do every single day, putting your lives on the line. You know, my final thought, you know, aside from my well wishes, is that real Knicks fans are only found here. Real Giant fans are real found here. Real Yankee fan and real Ranger fans are only found on this platform. Anything you listen to, anything you hear, whether it's on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, or your Stitcher apps, if you hear something that you don't like or you disagree with, hey, the floor is open for you to come on 929-477-4171, and you can tweet us directly. You know, it's and you won't come under scrutiny. You know, intelligent, you know, good, healthy dialogue is good for the soul, and what better, you know, topic than, you know, than the sports and the teams that we root and love. And, you know, for that, Merry Nixmas, Happy Blee Blue Holidays to all of you. You know, thank you. I'm very thankful for this platform. I'm very thankful for all the connections that I've made over the last, how long have we been doing this, Steve? What, 3-4 years now? Maybe five?
Give or take.
It's been a while.
Give or take.
And you know what? I look forward towards the future. You know, go Knicks, bleed blue all day, every day. Sangre azul, Knickerbocker Ave is out.
Oh, man, Av took a lot of the wind out of my sail, man. Thank you very much, Av. For Marlo, Dominic, Tamika, Dre, Sim, Knickerbocker Avenue. This is the final episode for the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum this year, because next week we're on hiatus. Everybody's going to be on vacation, holidays, and all that. We'll be back after the new year. Every Wednesday, whether the Knicks have a game or they don't have a game. I love the Knicks dialogue on the Bleed Blue show. I can't thank all the stakeholders over the years, Dominic, Marlo, Sim, Av, Chandler, everybody who's come on, Bryce here and there, to talk Knicks, to talk basketball, to talk sports, man. This is really about what it's about. An equal say platform the way we do it. It's a roundtable format, and everybody feel like their time has not been wasted. I mean, that's what it really is about when it comes to this. But one thing, like Av said, is this episode is going to be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Meaning, go to your smartphone devices, look up the Bleed Blue Show. You get to hear from Tamika. You get to hear from Marlo and Sim and Dominic and Dre and Av and all the other stakeholders. I mean, we have stakeholder spotlight episodes. We got the Giant shows, the NFL shows, the college sports shows. We got a whole bunch of things. We're going to get back into the fan stuff, man. The fan stuff that we've been dying to, that's been long overdue. Loyal Fan 2.0, Bandwagon Fan 2.0. We might have to dissect the Knicks fan base by itself on a future episode and have Av just do a narration on that, man. There's a lot of stuff lined up in 2018 that we probably bring in a different format that nobody else has done or is doing. And there's no better way to do it with passionate, smart, knowledgeable fans on this platform, man. And also, don't forget, man, the links you'll see from on the Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, or Twitter, or Instagram, however you see it. Definitely, please share the shows, man. Retweet the show. Share the show. Let everybody know that these guys and gals have voices, man. You're not going to get it more real and more direct on a consistent week-to-week basis than the Bleed Blue Show. Like I've said, we've been around for about 3 to 4 years. Let everybody know. Share the show on your social media. Let everybody know that you've been heard or you can be heard here on the Bleed Blue Show, the forum for the fans. With that being said, you guys have a happy holiday. Save me some eggnog. Eat well. Watch the NBA. Matter of fact, I might have to go to Knickerbocker Avenue on Christmas when we play the Sixers. We might have to have a live thread going, or on I Bleed Sport, I Bleed Orange and Blue Sport, whatever Knicks thread, let me know. Tag me there, and we'll have a live dialogue versus the Sixers, man. I can't wait for that game on Monday, man, and as well as the Celtics and Pistons. Somebody else, we're about to get cut off. Bleed Blue, everybody have to happy.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed Blue, 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 Bleed Blue.